All right, everybody. Can you hear me okay? Welcome. Can you? I know you're gonna. We're gonna. I'm gonna be battling Todd Olson next door. So it could get louder as we go on. But hey, welcome. Thanks for coming. My name is Tyler Marsh. I'll be doing the teen Bible study this morning. And yes, I am his uncle. This is Sergey, if you haven't met him. He's very quiet. But the title, Discovering God's Best for You and Your Youth, it's really what I wanted to focus on with you guys and just almost just really encouraging in your youth. So we'll jump in, and there's a lot of scripture, but I think it's really important. And I want this to be the typical classroom setting. I do most of the talking. You pretend to listen. I'll call on a couple of you. It'll be awkward because you really weren't listening, but you'll be okay. All right? So that's how, no, not really. But okay, so let's get started. So first slide, and I want you guys to pay attention to this one. This is an important one. Ecclesiastes 11:9. You who are young, rejoice. It's pretty exciting. We got the old people next door, right? The Bible specifically tells you, you guys are young, and there's advantage to being young. And it's pretty exciting. So I want everybody, stand up, high fives. Everybody, high fives across the room, stand up. No, you got to stand up, stand up. Okay, and why are we doing this? Because why? Are you old or are you young?
Old.
You're young, right? There's advantages to being young, all right? All right. Nice, nice. All right. All right. So now, to drown them out, we're going to start a chant. Ready? Here we go. We are young. We are young. We are young. Louder. We are young. We are young. Keep it going. We are young. We are young. We are young. Little high. We are young. Three more. We are young. We are young. We are young. Now they definitely are wondering what we're doing in here. All right? Okay. Read the verse again. You who are young, rejoice. Okay, now, precursor, this isn't the whole verse. So we're giving high fives and different things right now, but we'll get to the rest of the verse later. Guys, it's awesome. God tells you to rejoice in your youth. You're here this week. You have this time together to have fun, to learn about God. It's really explore a relationship with God and with each other. You have a ton of encouragement in this room. You have encouragement from your siblings and your parents. But what we want to focus on today is the advantage of youth. Now, we'll also talk about some disadvantages. But one of the advantages is we can chant in this room, we are young, and kind of annoy the room next door. So, all right. So this, we're going to have some fun in here today. All right. So to continue on the theme, we have Proverbs 20:29. All right. So we're talking about why we can celebrate in our youth. Proverbs 20:29. The glory of young men is in their strength.
What about women?
Hold on. Gray hair, the splendor of the old. So in these verses, when it says young men, it's applying to women as far as the youth. Now, I know some pretty strong young women as well, but this one specifically, the strength of young men. So, tell me this. If you're wrestling with a parent, right? We're talking about splendor of the old is gray hair. So I have like a little facial hair, and as my kids like to tell me, there's some gray in there. So it's just the gray is starting for me. But at what point, and we'll kind of get a raise of hands, especially with the sons and dads, do you think you could take your dad down? It's talking about young men and their strength. At what age do you think that's going to transpire?
Yeah. Say,
Right. I think Blake has a big curve to climb, I think. Sergey, when do you think you'll be able to take your dad down in a wrestling for fun deal?
Just me or with my brother?
No, just you. How many more years? You think 5 years?
I don't know.
You don't know?
A year or two.
Okay. You're getting closer, though, as you get older, right? And as he gets older, that's less. Isaac, what do you think? So remember, you guys may have the strength, but remember, they got the experience. So I'm saying 20-something. I'm not saying 20. I don't think you can do it. All right. All right. So what I also did on here, too, you'll see the version below. So we have those who are a little more comfortable with Russian. And so I did copy the verses below. And I can attempt to read some of those, too, if the Russian speakers want to hear me butcher the Russian language a little bit. But okay, so next slide. All right. Again, sticking on the youth theme. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. All right? Fantastic, right? Because what's going to come? What does it say is going to come? Easy street, easy time. What's coming, Blake? Difficult days. And the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. All right. So who in here has grandparents still living? All right. How's your grandparents' health? Do you know? Like, is it good? Pretty good, right? Has anybody? So, like, my grandpa passed away when I was 80, and then my kid's grandparent Jerry, he passed away when he was 82, and but both of their healths, they were declining in their later years. And especially for my grandpa, he struggled with a lot of illness. But just typically speaking, when you get older, are you more likely to have arthritis, have health issues, right? Is your body going to feel as good at 80 as it does today? 12, 13, 15, 16? Okay. Will it be difficult maybe to get around? Right? Okay. So again, we're trying to celebrate how awesome youth is, because you really have an opportunity right now to kind of, you know, spend your time out of school and doing things that you're interested in. You know, yeah, your parents give you some duties, some chores, but you will never have more time than now to explore what God has for you.
The world has hated them because they are not of the world.
All right.
I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world.
We'll go to the next slide.
I am not of the world.
All right. So we didn't read the whole verse in Ecclesiastes, but this 2 Timothy does kind of reflect on what the rest of that verse is going to say when we get to it. Simon, could you read this one out loud for me? Thanks. All right, so flee the evil desires of youth. Now, evil desires aren't reserved only for youth, right? What does the Bible tell us about the heart? Is the heart this awesome wellness of, you know, niceness, love? We got somebody shaking his head no. Can you give me one word that describes the heart?
Wicked.
Wicked, right? And so that heart needs to be changed. So when we read this, flee the evil desires of youth, that's a heart issue. But we all struggle with the heart issue. Now, the thing with youth, though, and I just mentioned it a minute or so ago, being young compared to being middle-aged, you just have more time to ponder. right? You got a lot more time on your hands than adults do. So it specifically tells us, you know, pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. And then what's also neat about this, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So again, seeking those friendships, you know, that are going to help you strive and get to know your Lord Jesus Christ. And again, that evil desires are not only for the young. Many, many older people struggle with that as well. All right, next verse. Okay. Proverbs 3:3. Go ahead and read this. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. So we're talking about the heart issue, and we, you know, pointed out that one word to describe the heart that Scripture tells us is wicked. And so this is telling us, love and faithfulness, let it never leave you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. We know that Jesus Christ needs to change us, right? And it's a heart issue. Well, this is specifically telling you, you know, the tablet of your heart, write these things on there. What do you guys think faithfulness means in this verse? Do you have any ideas? Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Yeah? Will, even your best friends, and your parents, your siblings, those who love you the most, are they always going to get it right? No. Are you always going to get it right? No. Okay? So, for us, you know, as brothers and sisters in Christ, and just people in general, we're called to love one another. Is it easy to love your best friend? Okay. Is it easy to love the people at school or out in your community who just annoy you? They just hit your annoyance button. Are they easy to love? No. Okay. They're easy to hate, right? Yeah. But we're called to be different, right? And so faithfulness and love, even with your friends and family and those who you may struggle with, it's important, especially at a young age, to realize that we're not perfect, that just as we're thinking and contemplating the mistakes that maybe others have made that have maybe hurt us, that we have done those same things. And it's Christ that's called us out of the world and who saved us, and we recognize that. But also for those others that we might not get along with, Christ has also died for their sins. And I think as young people, we kind of get wrapped up in our daily lives. I mean, we do as adults too. It's very difficult. But as young people, we kind of live in this world where we're all selfish. But you just kind of put the blinders on about how anybody else is doing sometimes, and you're just focusing on you. And God's really calling us not to do that. All right. Now, these next verses, I think for young people, this is really important. Again, this topic just isn't for youth because all of us in certain ages struggle with different things. But these next verses about words, I think specifically, really apply to younger people. As you grow older, and we'll read the verse here, I have a volunteer. Does somebody want to read Proverbs 12:18? Yeah, go ahead. So I'm 39 years old, and I know a lot of people, and I think if you talk to older people as well, that, you know, friends, you know, family, that they have been wounded deeply with words. What happens, what would happen if somebody stuck you with a sword? Does it cause a wound? 50-50, depends where it goes, huh? Does, is that going to, if you look at that, if somebody stabbed you with a sword, is that going to take a while to heal? Or does that heal the next day? Week, month, it's going to take a while to heal. Well, as you grow older and you're talking to people and you're getting to know them, you'll realize that something that was said to them 15, 20, 30 years ago still greatly affects them today. And usually that was something that was said to them when they were 12, 15, 20, maybe sometimes even younger. And there's two parts to that. A, the reckless words that pierce them, and B, them not having, not getting to the point of forgiving the other person. So it's kind of two parts. Now, on this Proverbs 12:18, when I was younger, I was so guilty of this all the time. And it's still something that God's had to rescue me from it. This in anger specifically. And every once in a while, you know, I still have to apologize to my kids. This is something that can affect you your whole life. And as a youth, you need to recognize, especially the words that you use, whether speaking to friends or family, or even those that you may hate, that you could affect their lives forever because they carry that resentment. And so we have a few verses to describe that. So the next verse is we have Proverbs 15:4. This one says, "The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit." So there's a little different mix on this one, but again, we're talking about the tongue that brings healing. So just as those reckless words are causing a wound like a sword would, you also have the opportunity to bring healing. And how awesome is that, whether you're bringing healing to friends, family, or even those people that you don't get along with. You can bless them, maybe even when they're not being kind to you, you can bless them with the healing of the tree of life by just speaking kind words to them. All right. Next. Okay. So here's kind of the, you know, as we're talking about youth, the advantages of youth and the disadvantages of youth and the advantages of being older and the disadvantages. So this Proverbs 12:16 is an advantage of maybe being older, although if you're able to do this as a younger person, I say awesome, because a lot of times people really struggle with this one. So who wants to read Proverbs 12:16? Natalie? Insult. Yeah, good. All right, so raise your hand if you like to be insulted. Anybody? Anybody good with that? A good insult every once in a while really pumps you up? Okay, so as you grow older, what you realize is, okay, wow, I've spoken many an unkind word about people, and you get to the point where you're able just to, like, let it go or leave it be. But as you're a younger person, you're just not typically ready to do that, are you? You're ready to stay, fight, use your words back. But when you do that, what is God telling us? What are we if we do that? Even if we're annoyed, even if we don't, Even if you don't say something back, you know, a lot of times you think, well, this is what I wanted to say, right? If somebody says something to you, a fool, we are called fools at just being annoyed. So again, getting to the place with God's help of not even letting an insult annoy you is an awesome place to be, because you can just then focus on so many other things. All right. All right. Next verse we have is Micah 6:8, and do I have a volunteer for that one? Anybody? Oh, go ahead. All right, so this verse, again, when we're talking about youth, like really what you're needing to discover is really what older people need to discover too. What does the Lord require of us? To ask justly, to love mercy. Again, when people are speaking unkind words to you, we know we've done it to others, whether in private or whether they can hear. You know, just to have mercy on them, just as God had mercy on us, and to walk humbly with your God. So to be humble. All right. So the next verses, and I'll read these ones because they're kind of long, and we won't. I'll get there because I think this is important. I think you guys, especially you with siblings, will get this one for sure. All right. So the next verses that we have here are Luke 15. Does anybody know what Luke 15, 11, what parable that is off the top of your head? Anybody? Well, there's two brothers involved. Does anybody know?
Prodigal son.
Very nice. Okay, so we have quite a few verses here, so I'm going to read these real quick. And we'll talk about this. All right. Parable of the lost son, as Blake said. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them." Okay, look at this from the father's point of view. Everybody think about their parents, okay? Today, you go to your parents or your dad and say, "Hey, I want half." What's the response you're going to get? Half of what, right? I'm going to give you half of what?
A knuckle sandwich?
I mean, you're going to get like a two-minute look first before he says anything, right? Well, it depends. Okay? So He's gonna say no. Why would your parents say no? They know what's best for you, right? And is giving you half of the estate or half of everything owned currently at that time by the family, is that a good idea? No? Would you agree that that's not a good idea? Okay. So let's continue. So we agree, if you went to your dad or your parents and you asked for half right now, the response is not going to be overwhelmingly in your favor, right? Okay. But what does the parable say? Does he do it? So he divided the property between them. So he does it. All right? Not long after that, the younger son... Now, who asked for it? Was it the older son or the younger? It was the younger son. All right? So, props to the older son. He's not the one who did it. It was the younger son. Okay. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and what did he do? He wasted it all. He didn't invest it. Okay. It says, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. All right. I love this next verse. When he came to his what? Senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.'" Okay, so if you're in this position, okay, you've gotten half, you've squandered it, okay, and now you want to go home. How are you feeling about that?
Good
aunt. I want the other half. So not good in a way that you feel ashamed, maybe embarrassed, right? But good in the fact that, okay, I get to go home. All right. Are you afraid of how your parents or your dad might respond? How are you thinking when you show up? Are you maybe fearful of what's going to transpire, right? Okay. When we sin, I feel like we're kind of like that with God. You got to get to a place where you got to go to God and confess your sins. And we don't need to be fearful. In this situation, I mean, are you a little fearful? Maybe. In this situation, you know, and I'm doing a comparison here, he squandered half of it, and now he's going back. All right, so let's continue on the story. So again, he said, "I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men." So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with, what was he filled with? Anger, hatred, joy, and it specifically says compassion. It's an interesting word, compassion. Because even though he was joyful, he had compassion for him. Does God have compassion for us? Because does he know we're going to make the wrong decisions? When he got half of the estate, or half, he's the younger son. Do you think his father said, "You know, I think he's going to go make some great decisions with half of that wealth"? He probably knew that it most likely wasn't going to turn out well. So when he was coming back, and that's my guess, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Big relief, right? After something like that transpires. Okay. The son said to the father, so now he's the son said to the father, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." So what's interesting here is, most likely worried, showing up. His dad runs to him, puts his arms around him. You know, he kind of lets down a little bit, but he still apologizes. He recognizes that he needs to say something, right? So there's still an action that needs to take place here. But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. This is a picture of the celebration of when we come to realize that we're sinners and we repent. God and the angels are celebrating. Okay, so this is a picture. All right, so this slide personally is my favorite. It's the only one I put in for dramatic effect. If you're an older sibling, you're really going to enjoy this. So this is my picture of the prodigal son coming home. Older brother, younger brother. Right? Because who left? Was it the younger brother? Right? So who stayed at home? The older brother. Okay, so younger brother comes home. Dad is super happy, wraps him around, so excited that he's there. How's the older brother feeling that the younger brother is home? He's giving him the stiff arm, right? You know, and I mean, I picked this one just because, you know, it's younger and I just thought it was hilarious with the stiff arm. Okay. This whole story just isn't about the younger brother making a poor choice. God used this as an instant because the older brother's heart needed to be changed. Meanwhile, the older son, right, was in the field. Well, what was he doing in the field? Was it a soccer field? Was he playing? Was he hanging out? Was he trying out for the Broncos, doing his own thing? What was he doing? Working. Younger brother gets home. Okay. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard the music and dancing. Well, awesome. Party. I'm glad I showed up in time, right? So he called one of the servants and asked him, what was going on? This is exciting news. Your brother has come home, he replied. And your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. All right. So what's the reaction of the older brother? Is he pumped?
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, because the thing which may be known of God is clearly revealed within them, for God revealed it to them. For the unseen things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being realized by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, for them to be without excuse.
So they're doing that because we were chanting earlier. I think they flipped the mic. All right. So remember, the father said, the father had what on his younger son? He had compassion, right? Says the older brother became angry and refused to go in. Okay, so the mistake that the younger brother had was almost an agreed scenario, right? Give me half of the estate. I want it now. Okay, so that was what he struggled with. The older brother struggled with anger, refused to go in. Okay, so now again, it's up to the father, right? So what's the father going to do? He had compassion on the younger son. So his father went out and pleaded with him. Here we go, here's the older son. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, it's interesting here, he calls him this son of yours. He doesn't refer to him as his brother. This son of yours. He's not even like including him as relationship to him. He's just pointing out this son of yours. I often do that with my brother-in-law, Matt, when we're talking about Becca, if she's done something, and we're kind of joking, I always refer to her as his sister instead of my wife. I was like, well, your sister. And he's like, what are you talking about? You know, and it's always positive. But in this situation, you know, this son of yours, you never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friend. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property, and here, with wild living, with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf. Okay, so he's talking about that he's worked for years, right? Now, it doesn't say how long the younger brother has been gone, but we know it's been most likely multiple years, all right? Do you think he kind of kept tabs on his brother? Do you think he maybe put out some feelers on maybe people who were traveling? Do you think he knew what his brother was kind of doing, squandering, living crazily? Because he says, he names some specifics to what his brother has done. So he knows what's going on. Could he have gone to his brother and maybe helped him? You know, maybe he could have, you know, I don't know how far a distance it would have been, but as an older brother, maybe he could have gone and at least pleaded with him to come back. But now he let the anger build up for all those years. And then when his brother comes home, he has no compassion. All right? And he's angry at his father. Okay? "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Like, the father knows what a monumental thing just happened. And his older son just didn't have the wisdom to see it because he was just so angry. And so, in your relationships with your siblings, you know, we're called to love everybody, but this is a great story on how we get wrapped up in our own maybe personal needs or what we want. I think what's interesting here, too, is, you know, the older son, you know, he said, "You're always with me." I wonder if he ever just asked his dad, "Hey, can we slaughter a goat to have a meal with my friends?" What do you think his dad would have said? Yeah, go ahead. He never asked, you know? So, anyway, I felt that was important to include, and really, I really like this picture, so I wanted to work it in somehow. All right. All right, so back to Proverbs, and we got Proverbs 20:11. This one is, "It is by his deeds that a lad distinguishes himself, if his conduct is pure and right." So again, we can do the things that, you know, are pleasing to others, and then also to God, but, you know, it's also a higher standard of doing things with the right attitude in a, you know, in what's pure and right. I think a lot of times we get some jobs, and even I'm like this too, get some jobs that, okay, you begrudgingly do them, but you just don't have the right attitude. But again, we can distinguish ourselves with God. He'll recognize it, and others will also recognize it as well based on our attitude. All right. So I thought what was important to list on here was, and I think most of you guys know this, but Galatians 5:22-23, the fruit of the Spirit. And so when we're kind of talking about youth, and, you know, we're talking about like reckless words, and that they're a sword, and they'll, you know, they cause a wound by piercing. And then we're talking about, you know, earlier where if you can have the wisdom when somebody insults you, not to even be annoyed at it, compared to even like not even responding, but getting to the level as a person where you don't even like take it into context that they were even like talking about you. And so how we do this is, I feel, through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So with those piercing words, especially as a younger person, I mean there's some meaner people in middle age and old people, but let's just get real. Like, usually kids are the meanest. They don't know the impact of words. They don't. And so if you're able to really each day, especially with the setting at school, where there's just mean kids saying things all the time, where you can get to a point where you can just respond in love and kindness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. That's what God calls us to do. And again, it's hard in your youth because you just want to say something back and you don't know the ramifications of your words. All right. And then, okay, so here's the rest of that verse. When I was telling you, you know, when we were chanting, you know, we are young, or I wasn't chanting, but you guys were chanting. I guess I was chanting too, but. Okay, you who are young, rejoice and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood. Here's the rest of it, though. And follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. So here we go. So, you know, you get to celebrate because you're young, and you get to rejoice. But is it free reign? Will God still take a look and see what your actions are? He does our whole lives, right? Okay, God will bring you to judgment for these things. So you need to keep that in mind as well. Then we got two more here. All right. So again, though, Ecclesiastes 11:8, however many years a man may live, let him enjoy them all. Now, we're kind of talking about, you know, when we were chanting, you are young, right? If you ask somebody who's 90 years old, what age do you think they say, who would they say a younger person is? What age? Is it a wide range, do you think? If you're 90 years old, do you think 70 is young? Absolutely. What if you're 70? Do you think 50 is young? Okay, so keep going. If you're 50, do you think 30, 35 is young? Yeah, we keep going down the trail. If you're 30, do you think like 20, 18 is young? Absolutely. And each of you probably have in your own mind, oh, well, this is what I consider young. So when we go back, you who are young, rejoice. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be 15. It doesn't mean that you have to be 40. But as you get older, so I'll be 40 next month, you know, and I look at you guys because I consider you young. I look around the room and I look at what an opportunity you have in life. You have so many years ahead of you. And you get to work hard now to discover what God will do in your life in whatever you choose, whatever avenue you find yourself in. And, you know, when you're 60, 70, and 80, those the older people that I talk to, where you don't want to say, like, life isn't so much slipping away, but that time is just cut shorter and shorter. So we look at you guys and we say, man, you have so much time ahead of you if God grants you that time. And so young is relative, but everybody recognizes that you're young. If you're older, there's different ages that you consider there. So that's why when we see however many years a man may live, let him enjoy them all. So when you're like 90 or 70 or 50, you know those years are shortened. I mean, yesterday in the Bible study, it was pointed out, how long can we live? How many years? 120. Raise your hand if you think you're going to live 120 years. We got one, right? Two? We got two 120s? Stretcher in the back. Okay, so so like in my family, I looked a couple years ago. I think in the United States, maybe Matt knows offhand, I think for men, I think it's 83 and a half, 84 for life expectancy. So my grandpa died at 82. Grandpa Jerry, our kid's grandpa, he passed away at 80. You know, so that when you look at the numbers as you grow older, so however many years a man may live, let him enjoy them all. So when you get to that 75 mark, the 70 mark, you know that window's closing. So maybe for me, so I run, and so like life expectancy for runners, you get to add about 5 years. So I'm looking at maybe 88 if I get that far. Okay. Now, this is the verse that we're going to end with, because the Bible's really specific on this. James 1:15. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So I think what's neat is, as you grow older, you realize through experience that maybe you gain some worldly wisdom on how to handle situations. You can also ask God for his wisdom. And if you start doing this at a younger age and he starts revealing that wisdom to you, you're going to be so much better off than if you're kind of just, you know, trying to do it by yourself. And so on this wisdom, worldly wisdom and godly wisdom tells me you're not going to be able to take your dad down at 20. It's going to be at least 25-ish. It's going to take more time. Look, old man strength and craftiness, that buys a few more years. So you don't realize that yet, but it does, okay? So,
80.
So maybe, James 1:15, if you apply this verse, maybe you can take him at like 22, 23, but you got to work that in. Okay, so we have about 10 minutes. And so on the wisdom train, got some pins here too. So I want you guys, yeah, you want to pass out the papers? Thanks. You want to pass out pins? Okay. So what I want you to do on this, and we'll have to do it real quick because we're kind of running out of time. There's some more pins. Is, okay, so each one of you, and we'll have to do it quickly because I'll read some of them. You were all just handed $1 million tax-free. $1 million. So this is tax-free. I'm not taking 44% off of the top. Okay, so you got $1 million. I need you to write down what you're gonna do with the million real fast. Okay, we have 10 minutes. So you have to write down. Well, it can be whatever. Yeah, a couple of things. What are you gonna do with $1 million? So take like 1 minute. 2 minutes to write down, what are you going to do with $1 million? Now we're talking tax-free, so you get the full million. What are you going to do with $1 million? You don't want $1 million. $1 million. Thanks, Sergey. Let's see here. We got 10 minutes. I'll give you, you're going to have 2 minutes. I'll let you really think about it. $1 million? You got that?
What would I give about?
Oh, you got one? All right.
What would I give about what?
If somebody just gave you $1 million, what are you going to do with it?
Save it to like my 30s.
Save it to his 30s.
My
Bugatti. You can buy my house. All right. All right. Are you guys done? Who's done? Okay. Here. I need it. Are you done? All right. Are you done, Andrew? All right. Who's done? They come to me.
I don't know. I'm not done.
Okay.
Here.
You got it.
Mojette beat.
I saved them until my 21.
No names. names. Are you guys done? All right. We done back here?
I thought you guys had
You can keep the pins. Got it? Oh, thanks. Give this back? The money? Got it?
And then you get it back.
Oh, sorry. I'll give it back. Did I get everybody? It's over here? Oh, got it? All right.
Dad, I don't have a name. I don't have a name.
It doesn't need a name. You can keep the pins. Yeah, Inky Pins. We got everybody's. All right. All right. All right. So we have 7 minutes, and so we're gonna go through the answers here and see what we have. Oh, very nice. It's my favorite. Oh, that's not. Oh, okay. All right. So I'll start reading these off. I didn't have you put names on them because I just wanted to kind of get a consensus of what you guys would put down on your sheet. Now, what I wanted to do is a comparison to compare what you guys said to what others would say who are a little older. Okay, so first one here, I'm going to buy a whole bunch of furniture for my new house. I don't know what this is. I'm going to buy all the webkins in the world. Is that the right word? I don't know. Okay. It would be good to put it at work and then give it to God. That's good. Okay. Give 10%, buy 100 acres, and put in some in the stock market. Then we got some specific 500,000 foot square house, pool, basketball court, soccer field, etc. And then at the end it says save the rest. So they're saving like $20. I don't know what they're. Actually, they're going to have to take a loan out to pay for the rest of it. Okay, we got stock market 500,000, save for other needs another 500,000. All right, save it till I'm 21. All right, but it should say save it till I'm 21, then blow the whole thing. Is what that should say, right? Is that those yours? All right. Buy a house and a car and help others. Okay. Save it. Save it for a time when it was needed. Help my family, God, friends, and good life. All right. That's good. Travel the world with my friend. Awesome. Okay. All right. We got a label here. We got four things. First, buy my own house. Then build one for my family. Put some money, save 100,000, and then send some money off to others. All right, here we go. Invest in real estate, after learning about real estate. That's a good one. Okay. Maybe you could do one of those infomercial ones, right? The aging guy that's got like the $70 suit on who's like shouting on TV. That's all right. Travel. Save for college, camera equipment, and charity donations. All right. Okay, we got some specific buy four high quality rental properties. Some guns and ammo. And then buy some land in the mountains with water. Okay. So, four high-quality properties with some guns and ammo. All right, go to Ukraine, help my parents, help my mom because she is sick, and then help others help guys in Ukraine. So we got Ukraine. Okay, and in Ukraine, does anybody know the exchange rate? Simon?
25 to 1.
25 to 1. So it was 27, maybe it's up to 32, so maybe it's around like 28. Okay, so if you have $1 million U.S. dollars, what do you have in Ukraine? Around $20 million, okay. So that's a real good investment, okay. Help out orphanages and children in facilities outside of America. Give the rest to my dad so he can help the family and retire wealthy. We got help my grandma and my aunt over in Ukraine. Maybe they'd have a chance to leave Ukraine or just move to a safer place. $1 million. $1,000 to the church. And then we got the other money for random wants and medical expenses. I'm trying to get through them all here. Give 10% to charity. Here we got a pool, another soccer field, lots of land, houses, save the rest. A house, a car, save it. Go to Ukraine, and then save the rest. And then I can't read the last one. So, oh man, we still got other ones here too. All right, so, oh, we got buy Ty's house, put it in the bank, buy a business, double the investment. So we got like 30 seconds. So, good responses, and it's good to think about, right? And I like some of the responses, you know, the five high-quality rentals, that's nice, you know. You really know the value, though, as you get older. When you talk to older people, somebody in their 30s or 50s or 60s, are they going to have different responses than you?
Yeah.
Yeah, and for a couple different reasons. Well, you know, they may have already purchased a house and things like that, but they're going to have the wisdom and experience to know that what you could do with that money to help others or to make it last longer. So again, when you're talking about wisdom in your youth, ask God for it, because the earlier you get it, the easier your life is going to be in regards to dealing with those tough circumstances. And so my time is out, guys. Keep the pens.
Yay!
If Sergey took your pen, I have another pen up here for you. Hey, oh, yeah, and one other. How many do we have in here? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. Okay. So you guys did show wisdom today, or your parents showed wisdom today. And so, okay, so it's not $1 million. But everybody who showed up today gets $10.
I'll pass them around.
Nope. Okay. So what I want you to do,
excuse me,
is I couldn't do the million. But I want you guys to think about how this could be best used, okay? And for your friends who did not show up, that's too bad. All right, guys, thanks so much for coming. I hope you have a great day.